But one of the things that comes out in the middle of that is John chapter 6, verse 14. When therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, This is of a truth the prophet who is come into the world. Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. And I brought that point out because it's important to understand that there is a clear difference between the spiritual will of God and the leading of God the Father and the purpose of God the Father and the purpose of man. Jesus was the ideal candidate, right? He should have been king, quote unquote. But that was not God's purpose. That was not his purpose and not the intention. And so he withdrew. And so the events unfold. The disciples cross the lake and the next day they find that neither Jesus nor the disciples are there, and they didn't know how he got there. And so they come and they find him in Capernaum, across the lake. And he points out to them that they're seeking something that is of this world, not his kingdom. He says to them, as I read this again, it just strikes me as so human. Jesus says in verse 26-27, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." And they said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" So they ask him. He tells them not to work for the things of this world. And they want to know, what are the works of God? That's a fair question. And Jesus tells them, and this is what's important. This is the point I was trying to make. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." They didn't believe. They didn't understand. And the rest of the up to the verse 60 where I finished last week, he is trying to tell to share with them, to help them to understand how it is that God is calling them, how it is that the Lord is the purpose of God in this time. Jesus had come to die. He had come to be the Savior, not the conqueror. He would come, he will come, and he will conquer. But at this time, he was coming to be Savior. And he, over and over again, he tells them, verse 35, this is a key. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." It's very important to realize that God is doing the work. It is not us. It is not an earthly king. We may seek an earthly king. They sought an earthly king. They wanted to see the Savior. They wanted him to come into Jerusalem and to drive the Romans out and so forth and so on. He wanted them to, or they wanted him to make the Israel bloom and provide for them everything that they needed, and that they would be top dog. That David's kingdom would be restored in the physical. That even Solomon's kingdom would be restored in the physical. But that was not the purpose of the Lord. What he says is, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger." Hold on to that. Grab a hold of that. That is a truth. That is a promise that only God can provide, and only he can give us if we come to him. If we are willing to come to him, we will not hunger. He will feed us. He will provide bread. He says, "I am the bread that came down to heaven." It's out of heaven. It's not like the manna in the desert. God provided. It was heavenly bread, but it was just to keep them alive. It wasn't to give them spiritual life. It was to enable them to go on so that they could enter into the land, which was spiritual life. But it wasn't like Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we can come to Jesus. If you're struggling, you know, Bradley, he has struggled with this terrible addiction to drugs. And he has come to Jesus, and Jesus has fed him. Okay? There's no preconditions. Come to Jesus. If you need him, come to him. If you have a question, ask. Ask until he answers. He will answer. He is the bread of life. He has given his body. The bread of life is his flesh. He has given that we might have salvation. There's another facet here that I didn't really share much about last week, and that's the second part of that verse 35, or the last part of that verse 35. He who believes in me shall never thirst. There is a difference between coming to Jesus in hunger and believing in him. They are two different things. They're certainly related, but they are different. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Remember what he said to them when they asked, what shall we do to work the works of God? The work of God is that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe in him whom he has sent. I'm going to come back to this because this is very important. But our belief it has to do with faith. I mentioned last week about our brother Dana's speaking down at the conference, and I have since listened to the first installment message that he shared, and I've listened to the other two that he shared, and they are outstanding. They are well worth listening to on Christian Tape Ministries, I guess, .com or .org, whatever it is. Christian Testimony, that's it. Testimony Ministry, whatever. You'll find it. Type it in there. It'll find it. Anyway, our brother spoke some wonderful messages, and they're well worth listening to. But what he said, he used the term, we have to see with faith eyes. And, of course, Dana makes these catchy phrases, but that is powerful. It is deep. We have to have faith to believe. And what is faith? Well, we know that faith is, as in chapter 11 of Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The Lord has done has helped me a great deal to understand this, and I don't know that I can put it into words to help you understand it, but as I have said, if you are hungry, come to the Lord. He will feed you. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, assurance is more than just a passing thing. What he is saying here is that without a doubt, you believe in what he has promised. These are the things that we hope for. What is it we hope for? We hope for the things that God has promised. We hope for his coming. We hope for his cleansing of this earth and the making a new heaven and a new earth. We hope to be with him. It is our hope to be with him forever. It is the assurance of these things that is faith. The assurance of these things. Where does that assurance come from? That is important to understand. Where does the assurance come from? Where does faith come from? Faith comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from your will. It doesn't come from your mind. It doesn't come from your circumstances. It doesn't come from anything. It is the power of God coming forth in you. Hebrews 12 tells us He is the author and the finisher of faith. It is not how hard you want to try to believe something. It's not our effort. It is His power, His desire. He wants us to be assured. He wants us to realize and know that these promises that He has made, these things that He has told us that will be, will be. He is the rock on which we stand. Second part of that is, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Now, that's the translated word here. In some versions, the word is the substance of things not seen. That is spiritual language. That is requires spiritual understanding. God will give it to you. He wants you. He wants us to know. He desperately wants us to know. He's not trying to hide himself. He's not being cute. He's not trying to make us struggle so that we feel like we're worthy. As a matter of fact, he wants to go the other way. He doesn't want us to feel that we're worthy. We aren't worthy. We're only worthy because he is worthy. The conviction, the substance of things not seen. In other words, I know that I am standing on the rock. And I know that because He has made me understand it. He has brought me to that conviction. It's a great phrase. It sounds good. And our minds want to embrace it. We want to build doctrine around it. But the fact is, it is by His Spirit, by the Spirit, that faith, He causes faith to come within us, and that we are knowing that things that we do not see yet will happen. They are there. Further down in the chapter, and there's a lot here that is as you well know, worthy of study. But in verse 6, he says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Isn't that the same thing that Jesus said? Come to me if you're hungry. If you believe in me, you will never thirst. That's how we please God. That's how we are. That is His intent for us, that we may be pleasing to Him. His desire is that we would, by faith, believe Him. Believe who He is, believe what He says, believe what He is doing. Now, there's another aspect of what the Lord tells the assembly of believers. And of course the people in this group, and I don't know, it doesn't tell us how many there are probably quite a few that Jesus was speaking to in John 6, but they certainly included some of the religious Jews, the Pharisees. It included people who he calls his disciples. It includes those who were following him because they wanted, there was a show. Something was happening. And people want to know what's going on. Some people were excited. Some people thought, well, maybe it's the Messiah. Some people thought a prophet has risen. Whatever. I'll get to that. So here's the other aspect. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Go to him with your hunger, with your what you want to know, what you desire to know, what he wants you to know. He who believes in me shall never thirst, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. He was speaking to this crowd, this assembly. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. As I said before, and I'll say it again, this is something that has divided the body of believers, and there have been things, blood has been shed over this. Anger. In anger. The point that I want to make here, the point that I think needs to be considered, and please bring it to the Lord. He is saying what he means here, or what he means he says. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. For I have not come down out of heaven to do my own will, but the will, I'm doing his will, he says. And this is his will, that all he has given me, God will give him. God is giving him. He draws them, it says later on here. All will come. He will cause it to be. And Jesus will take care of them. He will protect them. He will gather them together, and he will raise them up on the last day. It will happen. It is not an if, maybe kind of thing. I can't explain that. Only the Lord can explain that to you, because it doesn't. There's a lot about that that doesn't make sense to the human mind. And I know you believe it. I know you want to believe it. We need to believe it more. We need to believe it as God speaks it. He is doing this. He is causing this to happen. He is drawing men to him. And the Lord Jesus will lose none of whom he has given him. He will lose none. All right. There's a lot more. I can preach the same message I did last week again here, but I want to go on because there's another event that takes place, and this is something that's very familiar to us. Jesus said these. It says in verse 59. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Goes on and it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. The Lord is calling us. The Lord is calling his people. The Lord is speaking to his people. We are his people. We are coming to him because he has granted, the Lord, the Father has granted it to us. That's why we gather. That's why we worship as we do. We desire for him to be lifted up. We desire to have fellowship with him. We desire to have fellowship through our brothers and sisters. We desire to be built up, to be filled with the bread of life, to be have our the thirst that comes from this place slaked, because being in this world is work. It is hard. But as we believe in him, he gives us drink, the spiritual drink. And we see it and we hear it and we know it. And he teaches us, giving us ears to hear. He speaks that we may know what the Spirit is doing, and that we may know the difference between our own mind, our own thoughts, the thoughts of the world, the thoughts of the flesh, and the thoughts of the Spirit. You know, Brandon is looking for an answer. He doesn't need an answer that somebody comes up and says, you know, this, that, or the other thing. I had a nephew that did this, that, or the other thing. He doesn't need that. He doesn't want to be convinced. I don't want him to be convinced. I want him, the Holy Spirit, to speak to his heart that he knows that he should go forward in confidence or that he should not. It's a legitimate and important question in his life. God is interested in that. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him. Walking with him anymore. And Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him. This is that great confession. This is how John records it. It's recorded differently in Matthew. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them and said, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he was one of the 12 and was going to betray him. He knows, and he grants spiritual vision. Peter had spiritual understanding. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There was no doubt in Peter's mind. This account here does not go into Peter's failure immediately after that, but it did not discount him. The unbelief, the difficulty that they had in believing, didn't discount those who went away. I feel confident. There's no record of it as far as I know. I feel confident that some of those who walked away this day, saying, "This is a difficult saying, I don't know that I can believe it," that they were saved. They were saved when Peter preached. They might have been saved when Paul preached. They were coming to Jesus with a hunger, and they were not ready to hear it. He would provide the way. He will raise them up on the last day. I don't know that all of them were saved, but I know some of them were saved. I know in my heart that he does not throw you out. He knows who are his, and he is not mistaken. He has the power of God, the power to raise up on the last day. He has the authority because he gave his blood that we might live. That perfect blood. When we struggle, when we have issues of health, of addiction, of sin, and your mind and the world and the enemy comes to you and whispers in your ear. Remember what Peter said. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word, the power of you who are the word, that you who are the bread, you who are the life, you are the way, you are the truth. Lord, all these things, Lord, make them real in our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. We desire to know you more. And Lord, help us to be patient and not to grab it by ourselves, not to make decisions out of your time, but Lord, to wait upon you. And Lord, to know that if we do jump ahead of you, you will protect us. You will bring us back. You will cause us to be not lost in this world and to be raised up in the last day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name.